if people stood along the rock lines at all?
Sometimes it was necessary if there was a heavy wind, because the snow did not rise up more than a feet or so, because it was necessary for somebody to stand behind these and wave blankets or skins or something.
Do you know if they ever got down and hid behind the rock pile? Did your grandfather mention anything about that at all?
No, he said that this was not necessary, because once the buffalo was hurt into that area, what you had to do was to make yourself known, and the buffalo would shy away from you. This was not a matter of just bringing your presence upon the buffalo. They knew what they were headed for, and your main job was to keep them in line, heading toward the buffalo jump site itself.
Would it be men or women that stood along the rock lines, or did both of them do it?
Both of them. It didn't matter who they were, so long as anybody could wave a blanket or a skin or can whoop and holler. Because at that close distance, it was not necessary to employ one.
Now, the smoke from the incense, when it was used, when there was no wind so that it could be used, did this have any supernatural connotations, or was it just to frighten the buffalo?
Well, it was told that somewhere that somebody had told a person to use these two plants. So in that sense, it may have a supernatural connotation.
And that probably came from a vision.
But upon examining those two types of plants today, there are no other plants that give off more pungent odor than the two that I'm describing today. Perhaps this, adds to the common sense value of why those plants were being used. Sage in itself is very abundant, and almost always, any time you smell sage burning, it's when you have a prairie fire. And this may mean something to the animal. Then again, the burning of the bear root itself probably means a forest fire. Which of these two, the animal, even though unintelligent they may be, can detect this. It's a matter of a natural animal reaction to deter away from what is burning or smoking.
You said something about the buffalo being killed by the people if they didn't die as a result of the fall, but I didn't understand what you said about that. Could you repeat that, please?
Well, some people will be stationed at the base of the cliff, and some of these animals that came in as part of their ear herd will probably look. Have some broken bones, and they were able to get up. But these people would be stationary for the purpose of cutting their jugular veins to make sure that the animal does not wander off in that direction. A lot of times, some of these animals just wound up with only a broken leg. So it was necessary to station these people down at the base of the cliff to make sure that all the animals were killed.
Was there any protection for the people at all that were doing that?
No, there was not. They choose these people because of their quickness, their powerlessness, and their strength. So not just anybody could be based at the cliff itself. They took the strongest warriors that they could find, and the quickest, and the people that knew how to make a quick kill. So they were in self and about to try.
Did your grandfather tell you anything about possible supernatural activities or ceremonies or rituals in connection with buffalo jumps?
Yes, they said there was a certain amount going on prior to the buffalo hunt, but never during the buffalo hunt itself.
Do you recall what he said about the rituals?
There was not a specific ritual, depending on the person who was asked to lead the hunt itself. Like I said, Big Ox was known for this. He had his own ritual, which was unknown to most people, and which all he did was to pray and ask for a vision of where the buffalo were at. But the actual hunt itself did not have any supernatural ritual itself. It was prior to the buffalo hunt.
Was there any particular method of finding the buffalo before a buffalo jump drive was to start?
Again, I refer to the knowledge of the terrain. But people did seek vision quests in order to locate the buffalo. But I'm more inclined to believe that these people had knowledge of the terrain and could find the buffalo by locating a water hole or a stream. They would direct the efforts of the tribe in that direction.
Well, did the whole tribe go together to find the buffalo?
No, they did not. They would announce through camp that a buffalo hunt was being conducted, that certain people, certain society would be allowed to police the hunt or so forth, and it is up to these individuals to collect whatever helpers they need. And in a sense, the whole tribe did not go out. And preferably they would ask the men to lead the buffalo hunt. And this is why there were some scavengers. Once they hear about the buffalo hunt being conducted, they would follow them. But they were not part of the buffalo itself. But some people would just hang on and follow the buffalo hunters.
Was there anything like a group of wolves, scouts, that would go out to find the herd or a society that might have that job? Or?
Right. The camp chief would announce that a buffalo is needed. Designate certain people to get this thing started. They in turn selected so-called scouts to look for the hunt for the buffalo, locate the herd. And once they located a sizable herd, they would report back to the people in charge of the buffalo hunt. And from there, they would then conduct the buffalo hunt. There was no society as such. It was depending on who was selected to conduct the buffalo hunt. It was probably his trusted friends or relatives that did the scouting. Although in later years, the Crazy Dog Society had some important role in the buffalo hunt, that is to police everybody, including the scavengers, because there was a lot of them that interfered with the hunt itself. Or sometimes the hunt was conducted for a Sundance purpose in which you had to conduct the hunt in a certain manner.
Do you recall if your grandfather told you anything about the first contact between the people and the herd before a buffalo jump started? What I'm getting at is how they got the buffalo moving in the first place.
Well, through scouts that they were acting on a mission that was viewed on the same level as scouts in a war party. It's either a successful hunt or not, depending on the scouts' report. They would send out these scouts, or yes, scouts, who, as I stated, maybe friends or relatives of the person to whom the whole hunt was entrusted. They would report back, and from there, they the plans based on the location of the buffalo and the nearest buffalo jump. Was it the women that started the buffalo moving toward the jump, or men do that, or do you know? Again, here, if the women were available, say, in this case, it would depend on the location of the calf and the buffalo herd itself. If they were close to it, then they would use the women. If not, the men then assumed the role of the woman. However, there were some women always along in the hunt itself, because some men naturally took their wives along. So whatever few women there were, they were asked to start the buffalo running in a certain direction, which is actually the woman would gather in the opposite direction from which the buffalo jump was.
Did your grandfather happen to mention when the last crow buffalo jump was that he knew anything about?
Well, he was talking in parallel with the war parties. He said that he had heard that some men did employ the buffalo jumps. And this was probably in the late 1890s. As, again, here, the method of buffalo jumps is still employed even after the acquisition of the horses, because people who went on war parties did not usually take their horses. Still used the buffalo jump until the last war raid that the crows pulled on the Blackfeet. And this is an opinion, but I assume that this is the method that they had used, because they could be gone for 3 months at a time, and they were, since they were on foot, they were certainly would have to use the buffalo jump or the box cannon method of.
But your grandfather didn't actually mention that. You know, a particular group had a buffalo jump a certain time, and that's the last one that he knew about.
Well, as a young kid, he did foresee one, but he said he was probably 4 or 5 years old. That's the last that he recalled when the whole tribe went on this type of a hunt. This will probably be in the